where prophecies were being fulfilled, something the early disciples were waiting and watching. A lot of the people were wondering, what is this fulfillment? What was God planning? When his disciples came to Jesus before his crucifixion, and he said, I need to go. And they said, where do you need to go? They did not fully understand. And then we are very blessed today that we're able to see the picture, how God was working in the New Testament. And today we have Easter Sunday, a time of joy, a time of rejoicing, because Christ has risen. It wasn't the death that kept him in the tomb. It was death, but the tomb, but it opened everything up for us. And what does a cross mean to us? You know, we look at the cross and we think of the shame, the humiliation, the pain, the agony, the suffering, the beating, the spitting, the ridicule, the mocking, the everything that our Savior went through. And I was thinking this last week of what must have Christ gone through. And I think as much as we can almost, as much as we imagine, as much as we try to picture what has taken place, we will never fully understand what it put on Jesus. And I think the thing that we need to realize that the cross for us, it should mean everything. The cross, it affects the way we think. The cross affects the influences we allow in our life. The cross should affect the decisions that you make. The cross affects every area in a Christian's life. There's a story of a little boy who was lost, and he was sitting on a curb. He had tears in his eyes. He did not know. He could not find his way home. A police officer comes by and he sees this little boy sitting on a curb. He walks over to this little boy and he asks the little boy, are you lost? The little boy says, yes, I'm lost. The officer says, where do you live? The little boy looked up and said, I don't know our address. I don't know where we live. The officer starts thinking, and he goes, He starts naming some streets. And this boy looks up at him blankly. He says, I don't know those streets. The officer starts naming stores that he would think the boy would know. He starts naming off stores. He starts naming off landmarks. He starts naming off these things. And this little boy says, I don't know where I live. And the officer thought for a little bit. And he looks at the little boy and he says, son, do you know where that little white church is in the middle of town? Where the steeple and where that cross is lit up at night? And the little boy looks up at him and he says, if you take me to that cross, I will know my way home. I can find my way home. And that is where we need to be today. We need to be at that same spot. We need to come to the cross in order for us to live a meaningful life. In order for us to be where God wants us to be. We need to be at a place where we need to know and realize in our own self, there is no way we can be where God wants us to be. We need to, like our theme verse this morning says, who his own self beareth sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness by those by whose stripes ye were healed. We need that. We're in dire need for healing in our life. We need to have that separation from sin in our life, the separation from guilt in our life. The cross is someplace where we need to continually come to in our life. John the Baptist says in John 1:29, John the Baptist says, when he's seen Jesus coming up towards him, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." John realized it. There is no other way than through Jesus Christ. And I want to say amen to that. I was looking through the verses in John this morning. I was reading through chapter 13 to 17, 18, I think it was. And I thought it would be fitting this morning to just read up to the verses what took place up to the point of Jesus' crucifixion. What took place? I don't think we got the time to read through those five chapters. But there's one of the chapters I would love to touch on. If you have the time, read through them. And maybe you probably did this week. And God bless you if you have. But there's a few verses, there's a few chapters in John. John. And this is like if you got the Bible that where Jesus' words are unread and you start reading in chapter 13, it is a few conversing back and forth with his disciples, but you start into chapter 14 and it's pretty well Jesus speaking most of the time. And how Jesus, his desire is so strong for his disciples to remain faithful and to trust him and have an increased faith in him. These are just moving words in what Jesus speaks to his disciples. And how his desire is that the Christians were to abide or to be rooted, to be have their source planted in God's word. And that his disciples were going to be a fruitful people that were going to go out and share the gospel with the people around him. And one of the things that he really points out is that to his disciples is that they were going to need to live a life that was surrendered to Jesus Christ. I'm just touching on some of the different things that Jesus was speaking about, but I want to break into chapter 17. Chapter 16. I'm going to start reading at chapter 16, and we're just going to read to the end of chapter 17. And I won't touch on a lot of the verses, but I just pray this morning that the Holy Spirit will work through these words and work in us. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended, that you should put that." Let's start over there. "These things what have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended, that they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that they do with God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Hereby, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I say,
that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, Who is this? What is this that he saith unto me, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? And because I go to the Father? And then said, they said, therefore, What is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do you inquire among yourselves of what I said a little while, and ye shall not see me? And again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, and the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she delivered of child, she remembered no more the anguish, for joy that the man is born into the world. And ye know therefore that sorrow. And ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it to you. Hitherto hath he asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in proverb. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because he hath loved me, and hath believed that I come from God. I come forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speak no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. But this we believe, that thou camest forth from God. And Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye shall have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou givest him power over all flesh, that he shall give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self with glory, which I had with thee before the world was. And I love one of the last verses that Jesus, these verses that we're going to read now, is the prayer for his disciples. And I think this is Jesus' prayer to us today. I have manifested, or Jesus saying, I have revealed thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thou, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctified myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, and the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and thou hast known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Isn't that ever powerful? Isn't that powerful how Jesus speaks? He just prays over his disciples. And he wants to just see them blossom into being what God wants them to be. And he's not praying that God will take them out of the world, but that they will go into the world and show and let the world see what the cross is all about. Verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So God's prayer is for us today is that for the people that will be affected through your testimony of Christ in your life and the people that you're going to affect, and that's what Jesus is saying, I pray for those also that will see me through each one of you today. And the only way we can share the gospel message is if we realize the price of cross and the price that was paid on the cross, the blood of Christ that was shed, that we can have forgiveness ourselves. His resurrection assures us of his victory over death. Jesus died that we do not have to face eternal death, but that we can have life. We can have eternal life today. It is coming to the point in our life that we understand that we are sinners. Each one of us are sinners, and we are in a need of a Savior in our life. It's about recognizing that we in ourselves can do nothing, absolutely nothing in ourselves, except we apply the blood of Christ onto our lives, and that we accept the forgiveness that Jesus has to offer us. In Romans 6, there's so many verses when I was studying through and I was like, what should we have? Which chapters I should look at? And as I turned in the book, looking through the Christ's death and his resurrection, and the letters that Paul wrote, salvation all ties together. It also ties together. So pretty well any chapter we can look at this morning would be fitting for us to talk about Easter, about the joy of Christ, the fulfillment of prophecy that took place. In Romans 6, there's a few verses in Romans 6 I'd like to turn to this morning is where Paul, he's talking about, where is these verses? Romans 6, he says in verse 4, it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in his likeness of his resurrection. Also, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that of our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we are dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And that is the power of the cross. It is life. It's bringing life to each one of us today. Not only is it, we don't want to only look at the glory of the resurrection, but also being united together with him in death. And when I say that, I mean we need to crucify ourselves in order for us to be crucified with Christ, being raised up, being made a new person, and that's through the work of the Holy Spirit working in us. And then there's another verse in Philippians. There's so many verses I would like to turn to this morning, which we will not turn to all of the verses. But, and this is what Paul says in Philippians. He says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being more conformable unto his death." That's the dying of self. That's what Paul is saying. I want to do away with everything that puts a focus on myself, or I want to do away with everything that where I will take any credit to myself. Paul says, I don't want to have nothing to do with that. But I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And that is Paul speaking. And it's, I hope that is all our prayer this morning too, is that we live a life surrendered to Christ. I want to just turn to Mark 16, and this is after the death of Christ. We read in the Gospel of John up to the 17th chapter, and this is just before Christ's crucifixion. And this Mark 16 is after Jesus was put in the tomb, and the tomb was guarded. The stone was put in place. There was no way that anything could interfere or sneak Jesus' body away. And they made very sure that he was protected. And here is a picture of Mary, these three women in Mark 16. These are three women, Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. These three women, they went and took their spices, and they were going to go see Jesus. And I am amazed when I read these verses over a number of times, and I'm like, what was going on in these three women's mind? As I'm trying to picture them taking their stuff and heading up towards a tomb. And I'm going to read that. Chapter 16 of Mark. It says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?
what went through their minds when they decided to head up to the sepulcher. And what I mean by what was going through their mind is I'm trying to picture myself, would I have thought, where is Peter? Where is James? Where is everyone else? That's one of my thoughts that I was thinking about when I was reading this. It's like, where are the rest of the disciples? Were they thinking as well of what do I want to be associated with Jesus, that we're heading up towards a tomb? Is that something they thought about? Or were they worried about being arrested if they identified themselves with Jesus? Were they thinking, where is everyone else? Where is everyone else? Is that something that went through their mind? I'm not sure what all went through their mind, but in this chapter, we see one of the key or one of the most important things that went through their mind. There's nothing else that is being spoken of here. All these other things that we sometimes think about or what I think about. But here, they said among themselves, he says, who shall roll away the stone from the tomb that we can go taking our sweet spices that we may come and anoint him? But that was their focus, is like, how are we going to open that tomb? And in verse 4 it says, and when they looked and they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they have laid him. And he says, look at the place. That's where they laid him. He is not defeated. But there is victory. He is risen. And verse 7, he says, but go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they were trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Ye seek Jesus who is risen. And I'm not sure what process they went through. But one of the things that I had to think of in my life, and I had to think about the cross and Jesus, what he has done. And we look at the impossible, what has taken place here with these three women that came up to the tomb and they seen the stone was rolled away. To them, that looked like an impossibility, like how it's not going to work. And when they got there, the stone was rolled away. And they entered and they seen that Jesus was not there where they had laid him, but he was not there. He was gone. And I think probably they were starting to think of what Jesus had told them what was going to take place. But one of the things I want to look at it as obstacles in our life. And I was thinking of that is, how often do I allow obstacles in my life to blur my vision from what I should actually be seeing? Obstacles that keep me from enjoying the peace of God, or obstacles in my life that keep me from living the life that God intends me to live. Obstacles that trap me, that keep me from that new life in Christ. And I think this is a beautiful picture that with God, all things are possible. It doesn't matter what men do or how things will unfold. God is the one that's in control. God can remove any stones,
in our life, any obstacles in our life to fulfill his plan. Sometimes I myself will create stones in my life that will block me from enjoying Christ the way I should be enjoying him. And I want to, if we look at chapter 14, at the life of Peter and how he told Jesus, I'll be with you the whole time. And Jesus prophesied and he said, Peter, before the cock crows, before it crows three times, you're going to deny me. And we see that in chapter 14. And when he was questioned, Peter, you look familiar. I recognize you with Jesus. And Peter, he swears and says, no, you've never seen me with Jesus. He lived in complete, he denied Christ. And after the cock crew, then he wept. He says, and we had thought after it happened, and when he had thought thereon, he wept. He was sorry for what he had done. And I think Peter's denial of Christ was him putting a stone in front of his life to protect himself. And I think too often we can do that too. But he did recognize himself and he did see himself where he's at. And I think today, I think we need to come to recognize, or we need to come to a place in our life that we recognize and confess to the times that we have put blocks in between us and God to protect ourselves. And that's not what God wants us to do. God will remove any obstacles in our life that will hinder our relationship with him. And Jesus showed himself. Jesus' promises are true. Jesus showed his promises to his disciples. He said, go to Galilee and I will show myself to you. And if we read further down from verse 9, it says, and when Jesus had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, and out of whom he had cast seven devils. And when she went up and told them that had been with him, and when she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they. Afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as he sat and meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believed. In my name shall thou cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up unto heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the words and signs following. Amen. And that is the power of the cross. That is what Christ wants us to do, is our accepting Christ and allowing him to work in our life, removing obstacles that come between him and us. And when we realize in our own we cannot do that, but only through Christ, we will be like the disciples. So after the Lord had spoken, he was received into heaven, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the words with signs following. And it is about God helping us, living our lives without fear, living our lives to the fullness, how God wants us to live. God wants us to be free from whatever it is that is keeping us from the new life in Christ. And that is something we can say today, is that Christ is risen. And let us embrace what Christ has done for us in our lives. May God bless each one of you for coming out.